section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
New Japan signs a multi-year deal, more TNA problems, and Doug discusses Battleground. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have a special guest, Doug Hahn. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. So Aaron, what's going on with Hernandez?
Yeah, so Hernandez actually was on TNA not too long ago, and we were all surprised by that because we had just seen him over at Lucha Underground. And it was kind of shocking to see him there, but I was actually kind of excited for it because I thought, this is really great. We get to see, you know, performers now in multiple promotions and with different storylines, and I think it was actually a really good idea. The problem is that Hernandez was still contractually obligated to Lucha Underground and lied to TNA about it. And so now TNA, even though that he's in a lot of shots for the Beatdown Clan, they can't show Hernandez. And realistically, they can't show any of the BDC clips now.
And it also depends on how far out did they tape is the other problem, is because realistically, they could be screwed on a lot of shots. I mean, because he's going to be there. You can't just put a black bar over his face or his body. They would have to re-edit the entire show, and I think this is going to cause a huge problem. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, if you have to cut all those clips and storyline-wise, too, like you said, if they're taping so far in advance, all of it's ruined, especially if they can't show it. And maybe after his deal is up, I don't know exactly when that is, you'd be okay, but for right now, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and the other problem they're running into is that MVP, he's done with TNA. So that means the Beatdown Clan, I mean, you have, what, Kenny King left? Is that it? Because everyone has left that was in the Beatdown Clan. I mean, what do you think, Doug?
I don't know. I've got nothing.
What do you got, Aaron?
I got nothing.
Well, it's very unfortunate that he just kind of left since, you know, I mean, I don't know if they even wrapped up that storyline. You know, I'm trying not to read any of the TNA spoilers, but I just have a feeling that with Hernandez gone, MVP is just, they're going to have him fade away, and then they're not even going to wrap up that storyline. It's just going to kind of drift off into nothingness.
That's just really sad, too. But, oh, well. Well, the other thing that TNA, I mean, we're just basically bashing TNA right now. I mean, they've changed how their contracts are as well for most of the, maybe not the top guys like Hardy and Angle, but now if you are a performer with them, it's a pay per appearance, which I think is a horrible thing. Because especially if you're guaranteed, like I think Zima Ion at one point said that he's guaranteed $500 a week regardless, and then plus his appearances. Now he's just going to get, if they decide, you know, we're going to use you, then he gets paid, which I think is a big problem. I mean, what are your thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, you know, I think that it can be a problem, or it depends on how the wording is. If it's a pay for per appearance fee, and we're going to tape 10 shows over the course of 2 weeks, okay, so I get paid for those 2 weeks. But what do I get to do then the next 10 weeks? Am I contractually obligated to not wrestle at all? If that's the case, I'm going to go tell TNA that I'm not going to be with them anymore. I'm going to join Ring of Honor. I'm going to look at Lucha and NXT, one of those. That's what I'm going to do. But if TNA reworded it and said, look, you can now wrestle with other promotions, you can do indie shows, you know, things that in order to make more money, it's your choice, then it could be a win-win for TNA because they're going to help cut the budget a little bit and not, you know, have to pay people like Gunner, who was there for God knows how long doing absolutely nothing. You know, they're not going to have to worry about that anymore. Instead, they're just going to pay them for, you know, hey, you wrestled for 5 nights. Here's, you know, $500 a night.
Yeah, I just I'm really confused about this. I just hope they do survive because we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months with them. You know, our 300th episode, you never know that we might be talking about, well, now we have Ring of Honor, Lucha, and WWE now. But, you know, one thing that I'm really excited about right now is that Jushin Liger of New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. And to me, this is a huge deal. I mean, what are your thoughts on it, Doug?
When this was announced, I was really, really excited about it. anytime you can bring in a a big star like him, just even to coach a little bit or just even have a great match. And the fact that he's facing Tyler Breeze, which is a I think an NXT standout. I don't know how Tyler will go over in a WWE crowd, but NXT, he's one of their top guys. So it gives him somebody to feud with and somebody that could probably put on a great match with him and entertain the Brooklyn fans as much as possible.
You know what I'd love? If this turned into a three-way with Hideo Itami.
Because he's out, though, for, what, another 2-3 months, isn't he?
Yeah, but – or even Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn, he's about this
Again,
time –
Again, he's out for, what, another 2 to 3 months?
Well, no, he actually might be able to come back as early as TakeOver, which would be awesome, but, you know, speculation. But I think this is going to end up being a great match. I mean, Aaron, I know you're a fan of Jushin. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I am. I like the Japanese wrestling. I like their mask style a lot. More so than the Mexicans, the Lucha Libre. I would butcher their names if I said, like, there's Great Suzuki, I want to say his name was. There was a guy who he was in a video game, WCW versus NWO World Tour, and they named him Hannibal in there, and that it's Hayabusa. Is his name.
Oh, yeah.
He was another one that I really liked. Tiger Mask. You know, I always loved their masked wrestlers. And then Jushin Thunder Liger is obviously another one who is a staple there. He's in his like late 40s now, but he still draws a huge crowd. And I think that he's going to, you know, put on a really good show. We've seen him in Ring of Honor recently, and it'll be really cool to see him in NXT.
And I got to tell you something, Doug. I've been contemplating calling you for another reason because I was like, what do you think about going to New York just to watch TakeOver? Because they've almost sold out the Barclays Arena, which I'm shocked about. I mean, they keep opening seats. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
And it's kind of funny. I went to Battleground with a friend and coworker of mine. And on the way back, we were discussing multiple different places that we'd be willing to drive to just to watch a pay-per-view. And so when you bring this up, it is kind of funny because we are seriously considering driving to Atlanta for Survivor Series.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a good, 12-hour drive?
Google Maps had it at, I think, a little over 10. And he said that he can probably get us there along with me driving probably in about 9.
Well, that would be an interesting trip.
Yeah,
but and right now I think WWE is doing some great stuff with their pay-per-views. I mean, NXT I think is the big thing right now because I can't believe they're going to sell out the bars. They're going to sell out Barclays. Let's just put it that way. It's going to get sold out because they keep opening new seats, and now they're at that point where I wouldn't be surprised by the time the show's released that they're sold out, and that's a great thing for NXT. And that to me that says something that hey, people want to see this type of wrestling. My only concern, and this is going off on a tangent, is that I don't know who's going to face Sasha Banks for the title, but whoever it is, I hope they can deliver because some of these wrestlers have not wrestled in front of, 10,000 people. They're still used to like the 500, 600 seat arena. So I really hope they get even to a house show that they have 6,000 or 7,000 people out just to see this is how it's going to work here. But I think also the NXT fans, they're hardcore. They know their product, and they're not going to mess around. So, Aaron, would you be willing to drive to Brooklyn to watch
this? If I was in Illinois, I think if I had the time, like it was not a big deal for it. Yeah, I think I would. Taking time off work, I had a flexible schedule, that sort of thing. I would go with Doug. I definitely would.
And New Japan Pro Wrestling has signed a multi-year deal with Access TV. And I think this is a great deal because this is going to help wrestling out because there's all these promotions. And now we're able to see Japan Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, on TV, which is a great thing. So let's talk about some WWE programming for this week. So Randy Orton defeated Sheamus. And this was the opening match of Battleground. So, Doug, what are your thoughts on it?
It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Being the St. Louis crowd, you had Orton over Sheamus. It really helped Orton. They put on a great match, though. You really couldn't tell who was going to win until the very end. And the St. Louis crowd was in it right from the get-go. So it kind of set the tone for the whole pay-per-view, I think, for the home crowd.
Yeah, and I mean, the pop when he came out, everyone was like, oh, that's so sweet. And the fact that he, you know, he hit the RKO out of nowhere. I thought it was actually cool how they did it this time. I think the one though on Raw was way better, the wheelbarrow.
It was. Doug. So obviously the crowd was way pro Orton. How crazy was it there? Because it looked kind of like Punk in Chicago almost. Like, what were your thoughts with it?
It almost is the same as Punk in Chicago. I will say this for the Chicago aspect of it though. Way louder. I think they're just more excited, and also I don't want to say bigger fans, but more excited, more energetic. The St. Louis fans, they were all pro Orton, so it was very similar in that aspects of it. But at the same time, if Orton was like the champion, I think it would have been a little bit louder. But this being the opening match, and it was still a good match, it's. I like Chicago better. Let's just go with that.
Well, I think this is something I'm curious about, because Chicago is known as being a like really great wrestling town, in the Midwest. Would you say St. Louis is also a pretty good wrestling town?
I would. I mean, the crowd is really into it, and they're not just they're not the ones that just follow the flock of what WWE goes and says. There was a lot of, pros for the heels and a lot of, booing of John Cena. There was a fair amount of that. There was, everything that you're starting to see in the New Yorks, the Phillies, the Chicagos, where it doesn't matter if you're a heel or a babyface, the crowd's going to cheer for whoever they want. And you kind of do see that a lot in St. Louis, just not at a full extent of those other three cities.
That's interesting. I would never guess that. But do you think that this was smart to actually have this match open the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I do, because with this, it wasn't for anything. It was to put on a good match. And like I said, I think I even rewatched it on the network just to kind of see what the commentators were saying, and also to see, because I can hear the cheers that were in my section. I can't necessarily hear the cheers everywhere else. And I wanted to see how loud the cheers were versus my section versus everywhere else. And it was an overall great experience. And when I watched this one, it's like, I'm still excited about it, because if the crowd at the arena is excited over it, I think it also portrays out onto the television that you are excited for watching this, because you can see the crowd's reaction and they're cheering and everything like that. And that's why I like going to the live events rather than just watching it.
Do you think it would have been better if you could have like headphones on as well and listen to what the commentators are saying?
No, sometimes I think I appreciate it when I don't have the commentators on. Okay. Right?
Yeah, like they're going to talk about how scientific the moves are. No, they're going to sit there and say, and John Cena's wrestling later tonight. That's fantastic. But what about this match? Like, what was that maneuver?
Yeah, like they do a suplex. What a great maneuver. But yeah, and the one thing also that I was now, was the crowd over when the women's match came out? Like when they wrestled?
Yeah, there was a loud, a lot more NXT chance than I thought there was going to be, And this is why I'm saying that St. Louis is becoming one of those great cities to watch a wrestling event at. Not only does WWE put some great programming there, they had Raw 1000 there for one. out of all the cities that you can do, Raw 1000 in St. Louis, okay. But, sure. The crowd there is informative, and they are very excited. So,
and Doug, where were you sitting at?
I was sitting. It was kind of in the corner backsides of the commentator. So it was around the corner. It was a great actually seat. Just a couple rows on the 100 level.
Oh, nice.
Nice. So what'd you think about the Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns match?
You mean Clothesline City Reigns? I think you got to count them. And that's one of the chants that we started. I didn't hear it in the match, but I think we counted over 20 clotheslines by Roman Reigns. It's like, wow, he has a move. It's the clothesline.
Well, if it was JBL, they would have been knocked out.
Oh, well, yes. But I started even noticing Wyatt did overused the clothesline too. There was a lot of them in that match. Please rewatch it. And if we can get a total clicker on it, I would love to know the the final number of clotheslines in that match.
Actually, now I actually might have to watch it, just mark tally every time that happened. Now, I sent you a message because I thought when the guy with the hood came out, I thought it was Batista. So I'm like, it's Batista. And then I go, never mind. Even while you're watching it, it looked like Batista real quick. But then I was like, why would he come back? But it made sense, you know, that Harper interfered. I mean, Aaron, what were your thoughts on this match?
I definitely agree with Doug. I was very happy that Bray Wyatt got the win. You know, it humbles Reigns. It actually makes me like Reigns a little bit more. And, you know, Doug said last week that Wyatt had just been losing, so it was very important for him to get the win, which, you know, I definitely agreed with. And so it was a very smart move here, very tactical move. And, you know, as we'll probably talk about next week, you know, the dynamic of Wyatt and Harper versus Reigns and Ambrose, you know, that could be an interesting match for SummerSlam.
But do you think it's going to be Ambrose, or do you think it's going to be someone else?
Well, you're talking about the rumor of Sting being on there.
The rumor, yeah.
I think that having, you know, Ambrose and Reigns together will be nice. You know, this is typically a Raw main event, but, you know, you can have it as a SummerSlam main event. You get four people on the card then. So I think that's a smart move.
All right. So match of the night, John Cena versus Kevin Owens. Doug, how was it there?
I know I kind of started hinting at this before the show, but I am very disappointed in the WWE not showing my face at the end of this match, because I could have been the pouting girl that was on The Miz. I was sitting there, my arms crossed, just looking in disgust at this match, because and I started thinking about it midway too. I was like, you know what? How big of it would it be for John Cena to actually tap out for Kevin Owens? Mr. Never Give Up. I mean, that would just put Owens up. I mean, a huge push for him, for Owens to you know, because nobody taps out anymore. I mean, the women, they tap out, and some of your, you know, weaker guys versus some of your stronger characters. Yeah, but no one in a caliber like this match, no one taps out. And then Owens, or I was surprised that Owens kicked out of the AA from the second rope, I think. Yeah, it was the second rope. That kind of surprised me. And then I was like, all right, this is Owens to win. And then when he went for the STFU, it's just like, okay, all right, how long is it going to take him to get to the, oh my God, he just tapped out. And, you know, I think it was still a great match, but at the same time, I was like, all right, so you took the NXT champion away from Owens, and now he has no title. What are you going to do? I can see WWE screwing this up, kicking him back down to NXT, and really making him work from the bottom up again. So I'm very mad about this match. I think this is Cena's time to push Kevin Owens over the top a little bit to get him to just be on Raw. He doesn't like. I would have loved it if they would have given him the title and then Owens said, yeah, there's no need for me to go back to NXT. This is a better title than that championship. You know, I don't need that. And then still have Owens come back, you know, and still have the feud with Finn Balor at the Brooklyn Takeover. But you still have Balor win and Owens be like, yeah, well, it's no big thing. I'm on Raw. You're on NXT. Ha, ha, ha.
Do you think this is actually going to hurt Kevin Owens now? Because it seems like he's out of the main event. I mean, realistically, he was. Now they're going to put him probably mid-card. I'm just shocked about it because it seems like, oh, they put him to the top. Okay, so Cena's done with him. That's it. I mean, I would think that he would still want to fight Cena, but it seems like they're just pushing him away. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see like an Owens-Cesaro match at SummerSlam.
Well, that's kind of, it seems, what they're pushing to, but these two have already battled before. So, you know, and that's one of the things, at least for me, that I hate seeing are where you have a match for free on Raw and then they're like, oh, wait, you know what? That's a really good match. Let's have it on the pay-per-view then. And it's like, wait, no, you're not doing it right. Like that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Every now and then is fine, but you can't do that all the time. You know, you have to have a buildup to these matches. One of the things I said last week, which I, you know, stand behind, you know, the buildup to Extreme Rules and Elimination Chamber and then Money in the Bank was 2 weeks for both of those pay-per-views. The buildup to this one was 5 weeks, which made it a much better pay-per-view, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't know. I agree with you guys about Owens. I don't think it hurts him as much because he kicked out of an AA from the second rope. And that's something that, you know, they can really talk about and say, look, no one's ever done this before. Owens is the first. But I'm not sure what you do with Owens from here. You know, you put him in a feud with Randy Orton, maybe?
You could.
See, that's where I think it's going to be that they're downgrading Owens to just NXT because there is no future right now. Like, if he would have won the title, you could still have a Cesaro and Rusev, and, you know, you make those matches really, really count. John Cena has done a great job promoting the U.S. title. He has raised the bar for that title. It's great having Cena in that aspect of it. And even if you really wanted to do this match one more time at Survivor Series, which is what I was kind of counting on, because Owens winning the title, Cena has his rematch, and unfortunately having to see it for a fourth time. But every match has been excellent. I mean, where do you go with him? Do you have him still on Raw, or do you just kick him back down to NXT?
That's a tough part. I mean, I would hope that his last match, which will be against Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, I really hope that's the last time he's at NXT and then he's just at the main roster. But I believe that he should realistically say, I went for the NXT title loss, and then at SummerSlam, I won the U.S. title. But they could do a thing where he pins, like, let's say Cesaro's in the match. He pins Cesaro for the title. And then John Cena and him could still feud. But then at what point do we say, all right, enough's enough. We're done with Owens and Cena. You know, when do you end it?
Well, I think that, you know, it should have been ended after two, personally. Three is, you know, the max. I wouldn't want to go to a four. Just because, you know, like I said last week, this is only feuded with two people so far this year. Two people, you know. I want to see him move on to somebody else. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about next week with, you know, who he's going to be wrestling at SummerSlam, it seems like.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that happened, of course, at Battleground is that Seth Rollins won. Or, well, I guess he lost, technically. But
he retained.
But Doug, what were your thoughts when this match was going on, when he actually retained?
Well, I had accidentally. I knew that The Undertaker was going to be there. But I will say this. I was kind of looking at my phone the whole time. Just as like, wow, this is actually going to be a decently long match, and kind of surprised. And I thought the match was excellently done, excellently perfected and executed. You know, he goes for the F5. I was like, oh, wow. Okay, this is going to help Rollins. He is going to kick out of the F5 because there's still like 25 minutes to this show. And then all of a sudden he goes for the one and then the dong. And I was like, already? Okay. Oh, wait, Sheamus did fight in the first match. Maybe my prediction last week was true. Maybe Sheamus is now going to come out and try to cash in. You know, after a, you know, Taker and Brock fight it out and then they go to the back or whatever, and you still have Rollins, you know, lying in the ring, then you have Sheamus try to, you know, cash in or something. I will say the one thing I'm disappointed about at Battleground is it ended at 9:40.
Yeah, I was sitting there with my wife and I go, it's over with? She's like, what? I go, usually it's been going till 10 o'clock or they'd have something like a post show afterwards. But this one, it was just ended. It's almost like they should have had a couple longer matches, because even when this match started, mm-hmm. I think it started like at 9:25, and I was like, they're going to give him 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time for this match. And they gave him, I think it was curtain to curtain. I think it was like 12 minutes, something like that. But I was shocked. I really, really was shocked about this one. Aaron, were you excited when Taker came out?
Not really. You know, so last week you said, I think Taker will come out and interfere. And, you know, you were saying that he would align with Rollins, which I was like, no, I think that'd be a bad idea. And you're like, yeah, I'll set up, you know, them for SummerSlam. And I was like, I don't know. Would you really want to do that? They're doing it. I mean, you called it. You literally called it.
But he isn't really aligning with Rollins. He flat out doesn't want Lesnar to have the title.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't terribly excited to see The Undertaker. He looks really old. I mean, like, I know he is very important for the sport of wrestling, but he looks really old, and I don't know if he's going to be able to have a good match with him. You know, Undertaker's last good match was, I think, his second one with Triple H. Not the third one. I think it was the second one was his last good match that I can remember.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Triple H didn't beat the streak. you know, add something to his ego. But yeah, with Taker, you know, you can have him wrestle, but they're already saying that he's going to be back during the Mexico tour in October, which that doesn't make sense to me because he's coming back for SummerSlam. He looks old, like you said, Aaron, and I'm wondering if he can actually perform with Brock Lesnar. I mean, they need to go 15 to 20 minutes in a match, and I don't know if he can do it.
Well, he doesn't have to necessarily, but I mean, they should.
Well, yeah, they should, but we don't know how long the match is going to be, because if it's only going to be 10 minutes, then what was the point? I mean, I checked, by the way, it was 9 minutes for the Rollins and Lesnar match, but they need to go. I mean, but if these two guys go, they need 15 minutes. I mean, they need 15 minutes. So I almost wish
they think it's a Kane interference because he was talking about little brother with Heyman. So it's the Brothers of Destruction destroying Lesnar.
Mm.
It would be payback, but then, you know, how long was it? It's 5 weeks, 6 weeks away now. Well, I guess you could say Kane's ankle healed, if you want to say that. And then he comes in and helps Taker win.
Mm-hmm.
He could always do that. I'd rather have the big evil Undertaker come out on the motorcycle, but that's just me. But Doug, what was the biggest pop of the night? Who was like the most over?
Orton. Because there's no other wrestler that you had 100% cheer for. Everybody cheered for Orton. Nobody cheered for Sheamus. Everybody else, there was at least a small percentage. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, Owens fans. There was actually quite a few Wyatt fans. Like, I know in my section, there was a guy that dressed exactly like Wyatt, had the beard, the hat, and everything. Maybe not the gut, but had everything else. And, you know, so he kind of got the crowd around us to be more supportive towards Wyatt. But even I could hear on the other side or everything like that. And when I rewatched it, there's a lot of Wyatt fans, or maybe not necessarily Wyatt fans, but anti-Reigns fans. But even Brock Lesnar didn't even have 100% cheering. Rollins still had some fans out there, people cheering for Rollins. But Orton had 100% of the crowd.
Now, just out of curiosity, before Bray Wyatt came out, did they tell you to turn your camera phone light on?
No, but there was they kind of gave us the announcement that Bray was coming out. So everybody started doing it. And I think that was during a video scene in the back or for the pay-per-view watchers. So everybody had plenty of time to get your cameras out and get the flashlight out and ready so that you could wave your fireflies out at.
Did you wave your firefly?
I did not.
Okay. Now, who is the most hated?
Oh, most hated. That one's, I guess you'd have to go with Sheamus just because he was fighting Orton. You have 100% crowd favoring Orton. Nobody likes Sheamus. Everybody was yelling, you know, you look stupid. And I noticed midway through the match that he has a nose ring now. And it's like, wow, this is okay. You know, what else is he going to do now? I mean, he really does. He looks stupid.
He just wants a reaction is what it is, apparently.
And you know what? It worked for New Day, so why not? You know, if you're going to do something heel, go all out.
Well, New Day does rock, you know. And you know, you know, else rocks our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on irons from WWEShop.com. Aaron, did you ever use that code I gave you?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's probably expired. So, Doug, let's talk about some other promotions. Now, we talked earlier that New Japan Pro Wrestling signed a new multi-year deal with Access TV. And have you, so I take it you've been watching it.
I have. This has been exciting. You know, anytime I remember playing some of the older games where we got to play Hannibal and those other ones. And I've always been interested in watching New Japan Wrestling and knowing that Finn Balor came from New Japan Wrestling. And when they first started, he was still over there as Prince Devitt. And, you know, they've made comments about that and told you, and they do a great job making it, you know, kind of Americanized because they relate to the wrestlers and the moves. I know my favorite wrestler is Randy Savage, so every time they go off the elbow, it's, oh, it's a Randy Savage elbow. And it's, well, it's not really a Randy Savage elbow. He didn't pat it before he went, but but they make it accessible to, and they even mention all the times that, you know, different American wrestlers were over there and matches and people that have fought, or even the Japan wrestlers who have fought over in TNA, like Okada. They mentioned that, and they make it really relatable for the English or the American audience, and I do enjoy that aspect of it. And it is some phenomenal wrestling over there.
Yeah, it's some great matches. Aaron, have you been watching a little bit of it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I definitely keep up with NJPW. There's a few guys who really stand out. You know, Doug, you're probably familiar with Okada and the Rainmaker as well.
Mm-hmm. That is a great pose. I don't care. It's just, I mean, it's arms out, but you have money falling. It kind of looks like Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, but you know, it's great. It's something that gets the crowd into it, and the Rainmaker pose. I know they love it over there. The fans' reactions to Bullet Club. I do notice this a lot. Is a lot of the was it Gaiju? What, you know, if an American goes over there,
oh, Gaijin.
Gaijin. Yep. They never win cleanly. It's always interference. It's always some, because I went back and I started watching like Brock Lesnar, him over there. He couldn't even win cleanly. So I kind of have a laugh about that. You know, it's like, oh, no white American can beat a Japanese guy cleanly or something. But, you know, it's still good wrestling. It's still, you know, the moves are exciting. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they do over there that they just don't do over here anymore. So, it is. It's a great chance. Now I'm excited that they got the new 1-year deal. The only thing I kind of wish is that it's a little bit more current. Like, I can't remember what the last episode was. Is like from last year's June. I think
it's from the.
I know AJ Styles has the title, but
mm-hmm. It's from last year's G1 climate.
Yeah,
which is a huge deal over there.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things, too. I was like, I kind of laughed and I was like, I think the last three episodes AJ's been on and he hasn't won a single match, at least on TV over here. They keep saying he's at like 500 or he needs this match to get back to 500. And it's like, I haven't seen him win one. He's the title holder and he hasn't won a match.
Yeah. And, you know, we have, of course, New Japan Pro Wrestling is on Access TV. And then, of course, Ring of Honor now is on Destination America, and that's the lead into TNA. Have you been watching any Ring of Honor?
Now that it is on Destination America, I've set the DVR to watch it. I've watched a couple of them. I was very interested to see that Jay Lethal has the TV title and their heavyweight title. And he's actually going to have to wrestle both of them. So that's an interesting new take on it. So. I loved his gimmick in TNA when he was Savage. I thought it was a true rendition of him. So I'm kind of interested to see how they go with it. And also, you know what? You see a lot of Ring of Honor wrestlers in WWE now, and a lot of them going to NXT, whether it be Samoa Joe or a couple of the other people and even rumors of it. So this is like my NXT to NXT. I get to see the wrestlers before they come over to NXT.
Yeah, and also they do a lot of apron bumps, which, of course, WWE has started doing recently. And I just think the product itself is really good. I mean, Aaron, what are your thoughts on Ring of Honor?
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. I loved having a, you know, champion versus champion. They did a really great job building up, you know, Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe. So that way when they finally clashed, it was, you know, it was actually a really great match. And You know, kudos to Ring of Honor because they really do plan their stuff out really, really far in advance. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with the TV, with the TV title and with the Ring of Honor world title, because like Doug said, he's got to defend it twice now. So he's going to defend it at the beginning of the night and at the end of the night. So what's going to happen? I mean, are they going to do a really big fall for him where he's going to lose both titles in the same night and then just come out, you know, moaning about the fact that he doesn't have either title? I don't know. But I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I love watching Ring of Honor. And of course, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get it unless I paid for their thing. But it was nice. It's nice to see the show now. And I'm really, really happy that they're on, you know, TV. And of course,
I'm sorry. I was going to say, and the other thing, too, is just to tie it in, is that they have New Japan Pro Wrestling stars that show up there, you know, when they do they do kind of a talent swap of sorts. And, you know, we've seen Red Dragon appear. They were on Wrestle Kingdom 9. And then we get to see, you know, people like, you know, Tanahashi and Okada who's the other one? Nakamura. You know, so that's really cool. It's really fun to see, you know, those people in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and I think they're doing a good job right now. And the way it sounds that they're very profitable, and I think they might be putting out the best wrestling matches out there right now, or contests as they're known as. But what about TNA? I mean, Doug, are you even watching TNA now?
Not really. I haven't for a while now. I don't know what it is about TNA. I just can't get behind it. They have some great talent there. I think a lot of it is underused or possibly even overused. It's just something that I don't have. I have started DVRing it now that it's after Ring of Honor. So, you know what? I just keep watching wrestling, as I am a big wrestling fan. But ever since we went to the show, shortly after that, I stopped watching, and I haven't missed it.
Oh gosh, that was like 2 years ago too.
Yeah.
Oh man. So what, have you been watching any Lucha?
I watched the first episode. I got excited about it. I have not found it on my cable network, so that was about it. I've only watched the first episode. I've been kind of wanting to watch it because it seems, from what I've been reading about it and things that I've seen on it, it seems like it is a pretty good show. I kind of like the Mexican style of wrestling. Always been a big fan of that. And the cruiserweight aspect of it. And is it Joey Mercury?
Johnny Nitro.
Johnny Nitro, yes. Was always a big fan of everything that he can do, and the high flying and just the excitement of those moves. But it is a little bit too much soap opera-ish. Just the style of watching it kind of, you know, I skip through everything, but just watch the matches if I could.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make it more.
That's pretty much what I do.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make it more of a drama. But by the way, it was John Morrison.
John Morrison Nitro. Wasn't, but he was also Johnny Nitro.
Yes, he was Johnny Nitro, and he came out to what theme music?
The Nitro intro.
That is correct, Aaron. Circle gets a square. but yeah, because when he came out to the Nitro theme, I lost it. Because I was like, oh my gosh, that is the Nitro theme, and he's coming out to it. That's another slap in the face of WCW. But Aaron, you watched Lucha, but you fast forward through the drama parts of it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it is just, it's weird for me. I like a little bit of drama in there, but they do some weird things.
Do you think Angelico is the most underrated person in Lucha Underground right now?
He's the guy that doesn't wear a mask and is like, he's skinny and can do really crazy stuff, right?
Yes.
I really like him. There was Son of Havoc, I think, is the other one who's really good. You know, there's a few others that I like watching, but there's some that I just, you know, fast forward through and don't even bother with.
No, I completely understand. So, I mean, are there any other promotions that you guys are watching, or do we just cover them all?
Well, so Doug, out of those and NXT, because those are kind of on the same level, they probably get about the same amount of viewership. What's your favorite?
Right now, it's got to be NXT.
And I figured you were going to say that. So what's your second favorite?
So second favorite, I think, will actually have to be New Japan Wrestling.
And then probably Ring of Honor and TNA all the way at the bottom.
No. Well, if you're not counting Raw or WWE, it would be Ring of Honor and then TNA. TNA at the very, very bottom.
Now, do you think the fact that NXT is pretty much going to sell at the Barclay Arena, do you think that's going to actually maybe help TNA maybe, or even Ring of Honor?
I think it could. Well, it's definitely going to help them. Just to know that they have that kind of fan base. And you have to understand that this is in New York. So you have, like I said before, the big three cities of wrestling, I think, that are Chicago, Philly, and New York. As long as you put NXT in those kind of cities, I think you could sell it. I think if NXT came to the Allstate, they would sell out. If they went to, I can't remember what Philly Stadium is. But if they went there, I think they could sell out. New York, they're going to sell out. If you put them in, you know, Kansas City, maybe not. If you put them in, you know, St. Louis, I would say that you're going to have a near sellout, but you might not necessarily even get a sellout.
I think at that time I'd go with you.
Oh, yeah.
If it was in St. Louis or even Chicago, I'd be like, Doug, we're going. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
We're
going. I would go.
Too bad. The only thing that stinks is that they don't go out to the Seattle area to Aaron too often because of all the regulations they have for professional wrestling out there. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Anyways, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to dial and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes and Doug Hahn, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.